Glory to God. All right, so on our series, quite an enlightening one, we're learning about being accepted, all right? And we live in a world where acceptance is a big deal, like seriously big deal. People feel unaccepted and, you know, they become suicidal, you know. People feel shamed for one reason or the other. All right, they just go into this black hole in their minds and they get disconnected from everything, from everybody. I've come to learn, all right, that it's not about who doesn't accept you, but about the value of who does. All right, so if 1 million people don't, but one person does, if that person who does is of value, then I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm good. All right, because many people get into trouble, you know, in this quest for acceptance. They start seeking love in the wrong places, start seeking acceptance in the wrong places. All right, and that's what media thrives on. If you don't have the latest phone, then you're not one of us. Right? If you don't have the latest this or that, and then you're not one of us. And this car, you drive this, no, this one. Yeah, we know you got that one 2 years ago, but if you don't have this one, and all they might have just changed was something on the lights or something on the blinker, and that's all, but it's a new car. So the successful people, and you find that, you know, when we were young, there was this one cigarette advert, Marlboro, right? This cowboy rides, and, you know, you just feel like wanting to be a cowboy, you know? And they attach a lot of success to the cigarette, you know? Nobody tells you the flip side. And by the time they're going to give you the warning, they would have blanked the screen. And in advert, when screen is blanked, your attention is knocked out. So they put the information there. Tobacco smokers are liable to die young, but that's after a blanked screen. So the main advert is over, all right? The main idea, they've sold it. No, nobody sees the bad side. Nobody sees the flip side. So we're in a world where there's a great craving and a craze for acceptance. Too many fake lives on social media. All right, people just trying to be what they're not, who they're not, so that people who don't know you like you. All right, all because they just like the post. They're like, I have 15 likes, praise God. All right, but they might see you tomorrow and not say hi. You know, there's someone I know, he drives, you know, I mean, lives large, but he went somewhere. So there's a particular place he goes to, and then someone there, one of the security guards there, just has a way of always saying hi to him in a, you know, very special way. So one day he didn't go in his normal, you know, mode. He went, you know, like a regular guy. And then the same person stood there harassing him and like, no, the bus is not available. He can't see you right now. He said it's not because he's a different person. It's just because he's accepting what impression I have always made. I walk here with my suit and, you know, look, now I'm coming in jeans and t-shirt, and it feels the boss can't see someone like you. All right, so all of us try to meet up. But question is, what does God think about it? What does God think about you? How does God see you? And that's what makes the Bible quite, like, for me, super. When I understand how well God loves me, and I understand how well God accepts me, it affects how I see myself. And watch this. The way I see myself invariably affects how people see me. But when you want them to see you differently so that you can feel differently, you have it twisted. You have to see yourself differently. You have to accept yourself. You have to love yourself, and then you find that they love you. They love you. We'll begin again from Aaron, because we're dealing primarily with the presence of God. And that's a major area that everybody's not sure about acceptance. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're not sure, does God still love me? Would God answer my prayer? Does God feel I've done something bad right now? You know, I'm sure it's happened to you. It happens to everybody. And if you don't understand this teaching, and I'm sure you will this morning, it just affects, okay, so you mean I can talk to God? and you mean God wants to listen to me, and I don't need three steps or three people or... Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 1. We'll use a very simple translation, maybe NLT. So we'll do a bit of NLT, TPT, and Amplified version this morning. And you just love it. Hebrews chapter 9 from 1. All right, it says, now in that first covenant between God and Israel, there were regulations for worship and a sacred tent here on earth. Verse 2, there were two rooms in this tent. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, loaves of holy bread on the table. This was called the holy place. Please say holy place. Holy place, all right. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called Most Holy Place. All right, so say Most Holy Place. All right, so one room, holy place. Next room, holy place. What's dividing the two? Curtain. All right. In that room were a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant. I'm sure you know that's a big deal. Which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside the ark were a gold jar containing some manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant with the Ten Commandments written on them. These things are important. You remember that they ate manna? So it means that some part of that manna kept in that gold jar just never decayed, never wore out. That's a miracle on itself. Aaron's staff sprouted. And if you understand what happened there, they gathered the staffs of the elders of Israel, picked their staffs and put them overnight. They came back in the morning. Aaron's own had leaves and everything without being planted in the earth. That's a miracle. Everything here is a miracle. Tables of stone. Remember, Moses got that up on the mountain. So everything in that holy place was sensitive. This Ark of the Covenant here was the one that, you know, Uzzah tried touching and then he died. That Ark of the Covenant, anytime Israel sees this Ark of the Covenant, oh, it's just so beautiful. Anytime Israel, I mean, they were in war one particular time, and then they brought the ark to the battlefront, and everybody was excited. Anybody seen Troy before that movie, Troy? All right. So there was this stuff going on, and then Achilles wasn't at the battleground yet. So nobody was sure of their fate. But suddenly when Achilles showed up, I don't know if you remember that, and everybody went, hey, you're almost like, you know that feeling, we're going to win. This is better than Troy. This was them now being excited. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant was around, and they knew that the Ark being around, watch this, means that the presence of God was available. So that's the Ark. When Uzzah tried touching the Ark and then he died, remember they took the house to the, you know, they took the Ark to the house of a man called Obed-Edom. And I love that story. The ark was in Obed-Edom's house, and the Bible said Obed-Edom began to prosper. That means the presence of the ark, which is the presence of God, could bring prosperity, could bring blessing, could bring healing. Then news started spreading. Obed-Edom is prospering because of the ark. And then David heard about it, and David said, get the ark. If it's good for Obed-Edom, it's good for me. You understand? I mean, David was happy that there's God is merciful to us all over again. So I'm letting you know what's special about that most holy place. All right? So let's go to the next verse now. The glorious cherubim, all right, were above the ark. Those are angels. Their wings were stretched over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things now. Next verse, please. When these things were still all in place, the priests, notice the plural there, the priests went in and out of the first room regularly as they performed their religious duties, sin offering, heave offering, wave offering. You know, everybody was taken care of in their regular stuff. The priests were busy. Okay, let's go on. But only the high priest could go into the most holy place, and only once in a year, and always with blood, which he offers to God to cover, first of all, his own sin, and then the sins of the people, the sins of people committed in ignorance. So let's go on. But these regulations, or by these regulations rather, the Holy Spirit revealed, I want you to see something, that the most holy place was not open to who? The people, as long as the first room and the entire system it represents is still in use. So by these regulations, by the first room, the second room, the operations going on there, as long as it kept on going on, the Holy Ghost is saying that the holy place is not open to the people yet. Fast forward a little bit. We saw that before. We'll see that again. And that's Matthew 27. I just picked the exact verse out now. So we could pick from what? 46. So Matthew 27 from 46. So remember, there's a holy place, and then there's a most holy place. And dividing the two was what? A curtain. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Question is, why was this going on? Because at this particular time, Jesus was becoming sin, or rather had become sin for everybody. And there's something beautiful about this. Let me have anything that belongs to you, anything. You get it back. Thank you. That's your sin. Can I get your own sin, please? Any sin from you? Thank you for giving me your sin. I won't mix it up. Can I have your sin? Any sin? All right, I got your sin. Let me take one more sin. You have a sin from me? All right. Just sin. All right. Oh, your glasses. All right. At least I'm holding it in the right place. So I have your sin, right? So this is sin. This is what the church needs to understand. So where's your sin? Where's your sin? Where's your sin? Where's your sin? So I am Jesus. I take upon myself all of your sin. I go to the cross. My Father cannot behold sin. So at the point where I become sin, I notice a disconnect, because what happened to Adam, that disconnect suddenly happened to me. And then I cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I understand it's the process. That's why when I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I said, can this cup pass away from me? But I know it's not a good idea, right? So let's go. Let's go on. That's the thing. Jesus wasn't afraid of dying. He wasn't in the garden praying against death. This is the man that raised Lazarus from the dead. So dying was not a problem for him. But for the first time in all of his life, he will be separated from his Father. That's never happened. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's John 1 from 1, right? Then verse 14, the Word becomes flesh. Then for the first time, God and the Word become separated. And the only reason that had to happen was because the Word was going to carry sin. And then this part happens on the cross. He took all our sin. He didn't just take sin alone. He was now judged for all our sin. Then you do something wrong tomorrow morning and say, God is going to judge me. That's double jeopardy. Why? I carried your sin. And when I carried your sin, guess what? You were not born yet. So I paid the price for the sin you had not even committed. I paid the price for the thing you had not done. Because Jesus didn't die in 2009. Jesus didn't die in 2015. Jesus didn't die last year. He died before we're born. So he sacrificed for sin once and for all, dealt with all of sin once and for all. So the funny part is, he carried all our sin, and then he became sin. The person who became sin rose up on the third day, has access into the presence of God, and I don't. Something is missing. He should be the one that should not be able to enter God's presence anymore. He carried my sin. Now I'm free from the sin. I can enter, but we still can't enter, but he can enter. But he carried all the sin. He's now the sinner. But I still feel like the sinner. I still feel like the bad guy. I'm still the one my memory is fighting with. I'm still the one the devil is knocking with condemnation. But all of that sin was charged to his account. And then he carried it. And then he died with it. And he resurrected without it, meaning he kept it somewhere. Nailed it somewhere. Pushed it out somewhere. Jesus came out sinless. He paid the price for all the sin. So when I do something wrong, I'm not feeling God's about to judge me. I say, no, that was charged to his account. Does that make me now start doing wrong? No, that makes me love him. You suffered for a sin you didn't even have a business with. You died for someone who might not even say thank you to you. You died for people who might never appreciate you. But that's a lot of love. And by dying for us, you gave us your place and opened the way for us. Jesus didn't die with our sin and then return the sin back to us. He died with it and knocked it out of the way. The same way he took sin, he took sickness. He took every ugly thing you could ever think of. That part's clear? We'll get it better as we read. All right, thank you. I'm not giving back your sin, all right? Yeah. And this is yours. And then that's yours. All right. Oops. Yeah. So we have to get this, all right? So it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Next verse. Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling on the prophet Elijah. Some of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a stick so he could drink. But the rest said, leave him alone. Let's see whether Elijah will come and save him. Then Jesus shouted again and he gave up the ghost. At that moment, please read with me, want to go? The curtain in the temple was torn into from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart. This is where we're going. So what tall, guys? No, we could. Let's just see that part. It's not where we're going, but it's interesting. Watch this. And then what happened? Tombs opened. Now, what they did in this verse was they connected what happened when he died. Yeah. Now, Jesus didn't die on Friday and resurrect on Sunday morning, all right? Even the calculation automatically shows something is wrong. He was supposed to be dead 3 days and three nights. If you count Friday to Sunday, you will never get 3 days and three nights. So, calculation wrong, all right? So, he didn't die in April. He wasn't born in December, all right? But we celebrate his birth, and then we celebrate his death, and then it's all fantastic. Amen. So, and then we're having a special Easter program. So, now, that word is contestable because what they were celebrating was Passover, then it's called Easter. So there's this emperor called Constantine. You might have heard of him. So it was at his time that religion and state came together. He became a Christian. So at that time also, some pagan activities were brought into the church and there was a whole lot of mix-up. So that's why I find sometimes people are arguing over we shouldn't celebrate Christmas and blah blah. I'm like, yeah, I get the fact, but the point is, was Jesus born? Yes, let's celebrate his birth. All right, did he die? Yeah, let's celebrate the death. And one thing is this, and I said that last year, there's a time when the whole world at least talks about Jesus, Christmas and Easter. Let's allow them to do it. It gives us an opportunity to reach out to them. All right? When we argue over the dates, we confuse them too. At least that's one time in the year that almost every store all over the world is going to play a Christmas song. All right? So whether they get it or not, a seed about a song called Jesus keeps dropping in all their minds. We know there's no Santa Claus. We know there's no elf. There are no elves. We know there's no, what's that guy, Grinch. We know all those things are just we know, all right. But at least there's Jesus and then there's Christmas. It gives us the room to do some outreach, all right. So I'm thinking of that for Easter. Let's at least just help a come for an Easter celebration, right? Let them come. We'll get blessed, all right. So, but watch this. And the tombs open. The bodies of what now? Many godly men and women who had died were. Really? So when Jesus resurrected, he didn't come out alone. It's interesting. Let's see the next verse. And that's after Jesus' resurrection. They left the cemetery and went into the city and appeared. That would have been a fun time in Jerusalem. Hi, who are you? I'm Papa Abraham. You know? All right, but this actually happened. This actually happened. But what happened? Jesus, you know, cried out. Then he gave up the ghost and that curtain tore. What we saw in Hebrews some minutes ago says, as long as the first tabernacle is standing, it means the access into the Holy of Holies is not available to the people. It means, therefore, the moment this temple curtain tore, then the access has been granted. So it means I need no high priest anymore. I need no priest. Now, Jesus is my high priest, but I don't need any earthly high priest anymore. I don't need any priest on the earth anymore. All I have, all I need is Jesus, and I have Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying, please? Let's see chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. What verse is that? We could pick from 11 to 22. A bit of reading, but you're going to love it. Let's do it. Hebrews 10, all right, from 20. Hebrews 10 from 11. All right. Under the old covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that can never take away sin. All right. Of course. Watch this. But our high priest offered himself to God as what? One sacrifice for how many sins now? Sins. All right. Good for all time. Do you understand good for all time? It means that one sacrifice, like I explained earlier, is still useful till 2300. I know there's no date like that, but if you understand me. All right. So one sacrifice for sin forever. One sacrifice for sin forever. Let's see the verse again. But our high priest offered himself to who? God as what? One sacrifice for sins, good for all time. The other time they had to do it regularly. This guy did it once. Then he did what? Sat down at the place of the highest honor at God's right hand. Let's keep going. There he waits until his enemies are humbled as his foot, as footstool under his feet. Let's keep going. For by that one offering, what did he do? He perfected forever all those he is making holy. By one offering, he perfected forever. Say, I'm perfect. Now say, I'm perfect. You know, we like to say nobody's perfect. But say, I'm perfect. There are two words for perfect in the Bible. One is the word complete. The other is the word mature. In Christ Jesus, we are complete. But in spiritual growth, we are not mature. So we mix the two together. For instance, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, it says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints. It means for the maturing of the saints. So I'm not mature. I'm growing. I may have the mic, but I'm growing. You may be sitting now, you're growing. We're all growing. But as per the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're perfect. Jesus is not hanging on that cross a second time. He didn't make any mistake with you. He didn't rethink your salvation. There's no 2022 version of your salvation. He did it one time, good for all time, perfect. So when he looks at you, and this is what we need to look at now. Because I see the physical flaws I have, I internalize those flaws and think there's something internally wrong with me. No, I am not my flaws. And I can outgrow my flaws. Please understand this. I don't improve on my salvation. It was perfect from the beginning. What you now work on are your soulish tendencies. All right, I'm careful, for instance, when I talk about temperament, because I've seen people take it to extreme. They say, oh, I am melancholy. I am choleric. I won't do all of that. No, temperament usually is influenced by background, upbringing, experiences, and all of that. You could have someone who is happy-go-lucky and jumping all around the place, and there's a loss in the person's family that just shuts that person down, and person withdraws, and suddenly you meet him in high school and say, oh, she's melancholy. No, she was never that. Something happened to her that knocked her off. So you are not your temperament. Your temperament easily can be influenced. But we have people now building their lives on temperament. We do personality tests for people. And I'm like, that can be faulty because personalities change. I could over time just learn the reason why I should connect more with people. So I start moving away from my introverted self and start relating better with people, because I realize if I don't relate, I might miss opportunities. And then because you find me relating, I say, oh, he's an extrovert. You might miss who I am. Personalities can be tweaked, but the spirit has been created perfect. So when you want to find out who you are, because people say, oh, I'm in a quest to discover myself. I'm going on a vacation. I have to locate myself. If you locate yourself outside the will of God, you're lost. If you find yourself outside the word of God, you're lost. Because the man is three parts. So the part you can only interface with is the physical and possibly the soulish part of you. Science calls a part of us the subconscious mind, because science cannot find the spirit in the laboratory. There's a deeper part of you that nobody can find. That part that Jesus washed clean with his blood, first of all. Now he died for you, spirit, soul, and body. But the part that receives, the day we got born again, for as many of us that are, the day we got born again, watch this now. You didn't grow taller, you didn't grow darker, you didn't grow lighter, nothing happened to you physically. All right, so your bodies didn't change, right? And then your minds did not change. If you love to listen to Notorious B.I.G. before you went to church and you got born again, when they play B.I.G. right after service, what happens to you? You might even catch yourself, then go. All right, and people have had to mistake that, and then the next Sunday they come again to get born again. All right, I did that a couple of times. I'm sure some of us might have. There's a lady in my class that I was liking, and then I went to church, they gave her a talk, I came out for liking somebody. I didn't even do anything, I just liked her. And then I came out again. I must not be born again for thinking that, So, then you do that, and then you got angry, someone says, I thought you were born again. Born again people do not get angry. Then go out for the altar call again for getting angry. No matter how many times we disrespected or disobeyed our parents, they didn't send us back into their wombs. If you are not reborn physically, many times you're not reborn spiritually. The day you got born again, you were born perfect. But you were not mature. So you were recreated perfect. In your spirit was perfection. But your soul needs a lot of adjustment. A lot of reprogramming. A lot of tweaking. Then it affects you. Because sometimes you get born again and you wonder, why do I still have those feelings I used to have? Those feelings don't run away, honey. They don't go. Why do I still get mad at people? Because you trained yourself. Now, I have seen instances where someone got born again and the taste for nicotine ran away that very day. But I notice it's not the norm. Not everybody loses the taste for cigarette the day they got born again. Not everybody loses that thing for pornography the day. Not everybody loses it the moment they get born again. For many people, it's a battle with the flesh. It's a renewal of the mind. And that's why Paul in Galatians now says your flesh and your spirit would always battle. And someone just feels, for me to have these feelings, I'm not born again. No, Paul said you will have those feelings because the flesh wants to keep pulling you back to its realm. And then your spirit says, no, we have a new assignment. We have to grow. So I said all that to say we have been perfected. Whereas, notice please, we have been perfected, but yet we're still being perfected. The two of them are clear? Christ perfected you on the cross. No fault in your spirit, but then you are maturing. That's the other perfection now going on. All right? By the teaching of the word, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you're being perfected. We're growing into the image. Do we understand this? Let's see Ephesians 4. We'll pick it from the 11th verse. So please notice he has perfected. We'll come back here. But let's see Ephesians 4:11. All right. He is the one who gave these gifts, all right, to the church, apostles, prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Verse, all right. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build the church. All right, so that equip there is also King James, so that you see the word there. Thank you. For the perfecting. So we are perfected, but then we're still being perfected. These are the perfected here, or, you know, TPT switch. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own. And I like this verse, because sometimes you say, oh, the pastor is doing ministry. No, you are supposed to do ministry. I'm supposed to get you ready for ministry. So when next I say you're in ministry, just say, it's all right. All right. No, but look at it. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. All right. And as they do that, we'll get better. So let's go back to that verse in Hebrews 10. What verse were we? Hebrews 10. You found it? I know we began from 11, so we should be in what now? 14. Yes. And by this one, okay, yeah. So that's King James. Thank you. By this one offering, he perfected forever all those whom he is making holy. Let's keep going. Let's keep reading. Let me just open the same translation here so I follow you well. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Say, I have been perfected. Now say, yet I am maturing. Does it balance up that way? Okay. 14, TPT, great. All right, so I'll just, okay. So the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit also testifies this is so. First he says, trying to find, 13, 14, TPT, right? TPT. Okay, NLT. Let me switch with you. Gotcha. 15, great. All right, and the Holy Ghost also testifies that this is so, for he says, this is a new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. Watch this. I will put my laws where? In their hearts. Where was the law before? On 10 commandments. Now he's moved from there into your heart, and I will write them where? In your minds, not on tables of stone. Then he says, I will never again, oh dear, I will never again remember what? Their sins and lawless deeds. Remember how I collected all the sins and then I hung on the cross with it, you know, just illustration. So he's saying, I'm not going to remember. And guess one of the things the devil loves to do to us? Remind us. Guess one of the things people love to do to us? Remind us. I know what you did. You call yourself a Christian. Didn't you do that? And didn't you do that? And didn't you do that? And then we end up listening to the devil. And then you say, God, I'm sorry I got mad and I slammed the door. Then 5 hours again, you felt bad again for getting mad and slamming the door. And said, God, I'm sorry I felt bad and slammed the door. I'm sure if you could ask God, he would be like, wait, what? I don't understand what you're saying. He said, I slammed the door. I can't remember. You say, God, you're God. You know everything. God says, yeah, but I can't remember. Why? Because he said, I will forget. So the devil wants to remind you. And why is he reminding you? Anywhere there's condemnation, there's an attack on your faith. There's an attack on your confidence. There's an attack on your prayer life. There's an attack on, you don't even know, okay, would I get this thing that I want? I'm not sure. Why? Because I feel bad. I know God might be mad with me. God says, no. And I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I love this one. We can boldly do what now? Enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And that's what we're trying to sing with the song. Guess who could enter before? Just the high priest. Once a year. Now, who can enter? Everybody. But if any other person entered back then without being the high priest, that was a suicide mission. You were going to be roasted, barbecued in that place. But now, I can enter. Now, I have access into the very presence of God. Not because of my good works. And this is where we miss it again. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we try to feel good and say, God, I've been good this past week. God is not Santa Claus with a list of naughty or nice. God is God. God is good. God washed our sins. And because of that blood, he gave you access. So you say, but I'm not good enough. I remember, well, this has happened a number of times. And then after a while, it became like a joke. You know, so maybe you want to talk to someone about the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, you want to fill the person up. And the person says, oh, I don't think I'm clean enough to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm like, if you could be clean without the Holy Ghost, then you don't need anybody. You know, you're good, but everybody needs the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't try to put your shirt in the washer and the shirt says, I'm too dirty to go into. That is why you need to go into the washer. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Do you understand this? That's why we need him to help us. He's our guide. The Holy Ghost is not, you know, like, you messed up again. No. He's called a helper, a strengthener, a counselor. He's a comforter. I love this. I sometimes like to picture it like a race. So he's the one with me on the starting block. And then he's the one waiting for me at the finishing line. All right? So he's the author and finisher, right? So he's the one at the starting block, and there's the one at the finishing line. But he's also Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ. So he's not just waiting for me at the finishing line to just say, see, you couldn't even make it. He's also the one energizing me as the journey goes on. And then he's the one cheering me on as my encourager. And when I fall, he's the one that helps me to stand. He's there all through the journey. You know, because people get to say, he's the Alpha and the Omega. It means you find your way somewhere in between. I'm like, no. He's Alpha and Omega and everything in between. All right? He will never leave us nor forsake us, right? So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Verse 20 says, by his death, Jesus, I love this, opened a new and a living way through the curtain in the most holy place. I'm sure you remember the curtain that tore. And since we have a high priest who rules over God's house, let us go into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been what? Sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. This is beautiful. Say, I have access. Please say it. Say, I have access. Romans chapter 5, Romans 4, 25, first of all. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. We'll read TPT for that one. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 4, 25. Funny enough, okay. You've left Hebrews? Nah. Was it in Hebrews, right? Mm-hmm. So let's read down to 25. Let us hold tightly. Okay, that's TPT now. So let us hold tightly. Let me switch with you so I know where you are. I'll find it. Jesus handed over to be... Oh, okay, you're already there. Romans 4, 25. All right, great. This is good. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of what? Our sin. Who agrees with that verse? You guys are looking like, before he catches me with a trick question, let's read it again. All right. No, do you agree that he was handed over for the forgiveness of our sins? Yes. Now, if you agree with A, then you should agree with B. Watch this. And he was raised back to life to do what? Prove that he had made us right with God. Once again, I wish there was a stage and then I could pick, you know, someone, maybe Malik or Edma as illustration. But picture this. There's a stage and then Jesus is on the stage. He's dead. We killed him. He's lying down. And then he resurrects. Like I said earlier, when I had all the sins. So the person who became sin has access to God and I don't. Something's not right with that calculation. He took all the sin. He became sin. I am therefore not without sin. He's with sin. The resurrection of Jesus is proof that the sacrifice was accepted. The resurrection of Jesus is proof that we now have access to God. Now, this is Romans 4:25, in case you're writing it down. We'll just go to the next verse, which is Romans 5:1. Romans 4:25. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to who? Us. I'll do this. I can make it. I'm going to touch this a little bit. You know, when you ask a Christian, someone who's born again, are you righteous? The answer usually is, no, I'm not. And then you ask again, do you think you're righteous? The answer is, so I'm not asking you. I might get yes and I might get no. So I'll tell you what I used to get and I'll teach you what I would have thought in case you still said no. You'll get this quickly. And then someone starts figuring out, should I say yes? And then verses like Romans chapter 3, verse 10, that says there is none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah will come up and say, the righteousness of man is as a filthy rag. And all the verses begin to fly all across your mind. So you say, I don't think I'm righteous. And then even if you want to say, you want to think to say you're righteous. Now remember, I think I must have done something wrong this week that disqualified. But guess what? All you're trying to do to define righteousness is still what your good works can afford you. But this question has nothing to do with your good works. It's all about the sacrifice of Jesus. And the church has to learn to factor in what Jesus did for us. So watch this. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us. And he now declares us how? Flawless in his eyes. This beats religion. You wake up feeling, God, just accept me today. You don't know who you are. How would you be asking God to accept you? Why did Jesus die? Why did he die? God just accept me. Accept me. Anyway, what's still going on? So, he sees us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now what? Enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord, not your good works, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, has done. Verse 2, let's see verse 2. Our faith guarantees us what now? I love those two words. Permanent access into his marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. This is amazing. Our faith guarantees us permanent access. I could talk to God in the bus, in the bathroom, in the car, in my bed, under my pillow, wherever I am, I could talk to God. I could. Why? Because I have permanent access. I have permanent access. God could be in a business meeting and I could run into that meeting without feeling like I interrupted him and he won't say, because I have access to him. I have access to him. You know, sometimes you feel like if all the great ministers of the gospel are praying to God, I don't know what line I am on that list. I think he would answer me like day after tomorrow. You have access. God doesn't have a limited switchboard and then, you know, you have a call on line 3, you have a call on line 5, you have a call on line 4, and then it's like, okay, the calls are beeping, we can't pick them. Too many people are just talking about their problem. No, God hears you specifically. All right? Glory to God. This is amazing. I have access. I'm not trying to have access. I have access. I'm not looking for the access. I have access. Colossians 1:21, still on TPT. Colossians 1:21. I have access. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have access. Glory to God. I like this one. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body. He did it as the sin payment on your behalf. He paid it. Bible says the soul that sins will die. So Jesus became the guy with the sin so that he could be the guy that died. So if I die for my sins, it will be the court sentencing two people for the same offense. That's legally an error. You don't sentence two people for the same offense. It's called double jeopardy. If you sentence one already, you don't sentence another. Someone already paid the price. It's legally wrong to sentence two people. Now, I didn't say two people that committed the same thing, but I sat as the judge and I found you guilty, then I sentenced you. Then I say, you sentenced him too. Then we have to reverse a first sentence. Anybody interested in them reversing the sentence of Jesus Christ? No. He paid the price for all of us. So he can't sentence me to go and join him. Then why did he get sentenced? Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him by his stripes. So he was the one wounded, slapped, maltreated, stripped naked, hanging on a tree, bleeding like he couldn't help himself. And he had all the power. He could call all the angels, but he just didn't, because he knew he was now the sacrificial lamb. And he did all that because of someone sitting here this morning. So he releases supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as what? Holy, flawless, and restored. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. What should we read again? Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. We'll read that quickly. Let's pick it from the fourth verse. Ephesians 2. Should we do 4? We could do 4. Ephesians 2. God still loves us, right? It began with even when we're dead in sins. God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Let's keep going. It's quite some reading. Even when we're dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace, all right? He raised us up with who? Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection. All of us. We ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one. Maybe next Sunday we have to take our time in this area. Co-seated. No, don't enter it. This is big stuff. This is deep stuff. Jesus and I now sitting together. Jesus and I and all. And our brothers. Jesus and I now, you know, thank you. Throughout the coming ages, we will be what the visible, and I want you to see this. God is using you to brag. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness. God is using it to brag. You are the display. You are the guy in the glass. Everybody comes to see how good God is. See how good God is. All right? Visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Christ Jesus. We're still going. For it was only through his wonderful what? Grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation. So stop trying to figure it out by your head. Don't wake up in the morning and say, is God mad? Is God happy? Is God mad? Is God happy? God now loves you with an everlasting love, not because of your good works, but because of the blood of Jesus. We could never earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us into Christ. Let's go on. So no one will ever be able to what? Boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. And then we keep trying to make people do good works and say, God will love you more if you do something. No, God loves you, for God so loved the world. So he's not going to love you because you do stuff. He loves you. No one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. Let's go on. We have become his poetry. Oh, beautiful. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we will do for him. And that destiny is a great one. Let's keep going. It's a beautiful reading. It's beautiful. So don't forget, watch this, that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised, all right? Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands, all right? You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and you were without God. This was our state. It says, don't forget, you were, past tense. You were not born as Jews, uncircumcised, were away from the covenant, were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. We were, past tense, you were without the covenant and the prophetic promises of the man. We were without it all, past tense, next verse. I love this. Yet, look at you now. Woo! Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united with Christ. So I was far, so I have been near, so I don't sing, draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord. So, all right, I was far, now I have been brought near, so I don't sing, bring me near. All right, so, all right, let's go on. All right, our reconciling peace is who? Jesus, not our good works. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew to be one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. So the Jews were bragging, we have the law, Abraham is our papa, and everything. Jesus said, smash, smash, smash. Everybody now comes together in one blood, and that's me. Glory to God. Next verse. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code, that's the law, that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews fused together. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God through, we live because of God and reconciled in the body of Christ through his crucifixion, hatred died. All right, for the Messiah has come to preach what? His sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were past tense distance, and to we who are near, referring to the Jews. All right, and now because we are united to Christ, oh, I love this. We both have what? Equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. Say, I have direct access. It means if God had like 1 million phone lines, you have the one that when you call it, is going to pick it. You have his direct access. That's what this verse is saying. And they're just very, I'm using simpler language. TPT, NLT will give you simpler language. Amplified expands it also. All right, because sometimes people don't get the King James language. Many of us grew reading King James, and we got this in King James, of course. Many times also with the aid of teachers in the body of Christ. So it's just so beautiful. This is beautiful. Ephesians 1:6, and then we'll read 2 Corinthians, and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1:6. Thank you. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 and then the 6th verse. All right. It says, watch this. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he's poured out on us because we belong to his dear son. King James says we have been accepted in the beloved. We're going to read TPT now. Remember, I said this last week. God said to Jesus at the baptism, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Anybody that is now born again, 2 Corinthians says, if any man beware in Christ. The moment you come into Christ, you now become beloved exactly like Jesus. So to the praise of glorious grace, wherein we've been made accepted. If God can ever get mad at Jesus, he can never get mad at you. Someone says, I don't understand it. Could you come just for illustration, please? Thank you. So I am Jesus. This is the believer. Once again, I took his sin. I died with his sin. Question, where is his sin? With me, I died with it. But he wasn't born when I died with his sin. So what did I do with his sin? Did I still die with it? So the sin he now committed when he was born, what happened to it? Did I die with it? Or I'm coming back again to die for it? Because I died like 2,000 years before he was born. And I died with his sin. All of your sin. So the sin he committed when he got born again, where is it? It's with me. So what happens to the one he commits? It's charged to my account because I died for it before. It's like you give someone a credit card and just say, spend. Anything you spend is charged to my account. Covered, spend. And then when the bank wants stuck, they won't come and meet you. They'll meet me. It's my credit card, it's my name on it. So Jesus died for you, shed his blood for you. So if I hung up, now question, I left, just question, picture this. So I left the whole of heaven, came down upon the earth. I got slapped by people that didn't have a right to slap me. I got pushed around. I got beaten, crown of thorns on my head, nails on my side. I mean, spear on my side, nails. I died with your sin. Only for God again to still come and punish you for your sin. I have one question, sir. Why did I come? If I will go through all of that, and then he will still go through all of that, then I should have just left him to go through all of that, and then I just sip my coconut wine up in my throne in heaven. I don't have a business coming because he was going to go through the thing in the first place. I should have just stayed in my place. But then I came, and I went through. So same thing applies to sickness. Then you're sick. Oh, maybe God put sickness on me. No, God put all the sickness on Jesus, and he hung on a cross with all the sickness. So if you're going to carry the sickness, I shouldn't have carried it in the first place. So that's why symptoms come, you say, no, I fight you. If you have to fight you for 3 months, keep fighting. That thing doesn't belong in your body. Do you understand that? So you fight it, you deal with it, you do all you want to do with it. You understand that? You got that? So people are afraid of this, and they say, when people hear that, they're going to do wrong stuff. They were doing wrong stuff before they heard it. All right? So it's not the liberty for any wrong stuff. You have to understand the point. But I hope you get it. Sit, please. So we have been accepted in the beloved. So the moment I get born again, God is not seeing me as me. God sees me as who? Jesus. I am now accepted in the beloved. I don't have an identity of my own, so to say, in heaven. I am now a joint heir. That'll be next Sunday. All right. TPT. 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 Same verse. Just, oh, we're there. No, King James. This is King James. There's no TPT. What? He ran away? Verse 6. Give me verse 5. It would have merged the two together. Can you find 5? Yeah, it does that kind of thing. It would just merge it together. So this is where we're going. Verse 6 at the bottom. But let's read from 5. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. So this is verse 6. For the same love he has for his beloved one Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him what? So the exact love. Not so stop. And maybe I'll close on that. Stop trying to talk to God. Stop trying to talk to God with your good works. God, so you know, I've been nice. I fasted 3 times this week. I prayed. I didn't mess up anybody. I've been good. God, your qualification is not your good works. It can never be your good works. The best of our good works just makes us the best of the award you're going to get is Best Sinner of the Year award. Because the righteousness of man is still a filthy rag. The only righteousness that qualifies you before God is the one he gives you. Let's do the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 5:19, and then we'll do 21, and then hasta luego. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:19. Amplified, all right? It was God that was where, guys? Personally present where? So, because I told you some weeks ago, man was given authority, and then man gave it over to the devil. And people say, why can't God just come and meet man and collect it back? Because man gave it to the devil, and man has to come and get it back from the devil. And which man? All of men were in sin. So God had to become man. That was a trick, and the devil didn't catch it. So it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not what? Not counting up and holding against men their trespass. God is not saying, I know what you did. I'm not. Men do that. The devil does that. And the more the church stops doing that, the people, they will see the love of God through us. Try not to keep counting. I know it hurts. I know sometimes people need to be told, you've done that thing like a million times. I know. If you can do it without condemnation, maybe that might work. But the more the church lets people know, God is not counting this thing. So it's going to be tough for me, but I'll try not to count it too. They'll see the love of God, because God is not counting their sins. He's canceling them, and he's telling us to go preach a message of conversation. Now, 21, and that's, we are not 21. 21. 21, verse, yes. But let's switch to who now? King James, New King James. Simple enough. New King James, simple enough. Yeah. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Is that part clear already? Jesus became sin for us, all right? God made him to be sin. But the last part says what? That we might become righteousness of God. I wish I have a jacket. Can I just find an illustration? Okay, so since it's your jacket, can I have you? Yeah, thank you. Please come. So, stay here. Where? Okay. I would have said 2 jackets. All right. Yes, so you come, if you don't mind. Right. I got you, and then I got your jacket. So, 1 jacket, and then 1 jacket. Just hold it. Stay right here. Thank you. So, watch. For he made him who knew no sin to be... So, who's Jesus?
Me.
Okay. All right. So, Jesus and then the world. Hold on. So, God made Jesus who knew no sin to become what? So, this jacket is sin. So, all the sin of all of the world... You don't mind having it? Just hold it, right? So, I got this. So, all the sin of all the world is not with Jesus. And then he had to... The soul that sins... will die. So he had to hang on the cross, and then he died because he took all our sin. But there was an exchange that we might become. He was righteous, and he handed over to us his righteousness. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. But that really was completed at the resurrection, because he resurrected righteous. And if any man be in Christ, so all of us now resurrect together righteous. He had dealt with the sin. He's dealt with the sin. He's dealt with the sin. So when you're asked, are you righteous? You say, yeah, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by my works. I'm righteous by nature, not by action. Get this. Now, because I am righteous by nature, I must now act it out. So that's what you tell a Christian. Don't tell a Christian, you're a sinner. You're just a stinking sinner. See the way you're sinning. No. It's like maybe he comes to church next Sunday trying to look like her. You know, high heels, wig, some makeup, and he's doing like this. All I tell him is, come on, be a man. He doesn't have to go back to a factory to become one. He just needs to become what he already is. So the believer already, so the guy might be smoking weed, but I say, I thought you got born again 3 years. I say, well, I did, but he said, nah, it's still inside of you. And then you teach the person to bring it out. But we don't know that, so we talk to them like they're still sinners. No. No matter how good works, no matter how good a sinner is, the person can't be righteous. Because righteousness is not bought by being good. It's bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have to teach people that. All right? So he took our sin, and then we became righteous. So they say, oh, thank you, Father, because I am your righteousness. The devil doesn't like to hear that. Religion doesn't like to hear that, but I can say, you can say, because the Bible says he gave it to us as a gift. All right, we'll see more of that next Sunday. And thank you very much. And I took a bit of extra time, but I'm sure you were blessed. Was someone blessed this morning? All right, say, I have access. I have access. I have direct access. I have permanent access. Hallelujah. Can we sing that Holy of Holies song maybe once? Oh, I have access. I have access into the most holy place. What's happening there? It means there's a lot of wisdom there. There's rub off there. I can now talk. I could be driving in the car and the presence of God, because I know he's always there. I could be in the bus. I could be in a train somewhere. Wherever. I could be in the bathroom. Wherever it is, I could be sitting in the throne. You know that white throne in your bathroom? You could be sitting there and God is not saying you can't talk to him. You have access, direct access. If you make a mess, you don't wait to get to church. Say, God, I messed up. Right where you made the mess, Lord, I'm sorry, this was a mess. And he just says, he forgives you because he had paid the price for it. I have access. 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 Hallelujah. I have access. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. I enter in through the blood of the Lamb. You can just help us play. We'll close. Okay, great. I enter to worship you only. I have access into the Holy of Holies. Where only Aaron could enter, now I can enter. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. I have access to your wisdom. I have access to your counsel. I have access. I will stop behaving like an outsider. I'm an insider. I have access to secrets. I have access, God. I worship you. I have access. Oh, for your name is holy. Holy. Is there wisdom you require for a project? Wisdom you require for a situation? You have access into the very presence of God to discuss with him private matters, family matters, whatever it is. You have access, and his ears are open unto you. You have permanent access, direct access. I enter to the Holy of Holies. I enter in through the blood of the Lamb. Not by my works. I enter to worship you only. I enter in to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Oh, Lord, I worship you. I worship you, for your name is holy, holy, Lord, for your name is holy, 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 Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you and we honor you and praise you. Thank you for access, for permanent access, for direct access, access to your wisdom, access to your grace. So this week we walk in that consciousness. We will fight the devil's condemnation with this consciousness. We will fellowship with you often and often with this consciousness. Thank you for granting us what people in the old covenant could never experience, access, 24/7 access. And we thank you for this. And we know that just as your presence was a blessing to Obed-Edom, we are blessed by your presence. And that presence is not a church presence. It's a 24/7 presence. So our week is blessed. Our projects are blessed. Our mental capacities are blessed. We enjoy favor everywhere. Our children are blessed. Our homes and lives are protected because of your presence. Father, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God.